Just so you know, Clint and I rarely have anything in our head. We ask questions because we don't know the answers. And so we're thankful for Roger and his efforts in helping us with some of these questions. When I told my father-in-law, who goes to church with Roger in California, when I told him that we were going to have Roger present on this topic and that we wanted him specifically in part to address the question of whether or not homeschooling is advisable for Christian families, he said, well, why would you ask him that? You already know what his answer is going to be. And that's the point, that Roger has a certain experience. Roger and Judy have experience in this. And so we wanted to get his perspective on this question and appreciated all of what he had to present to us tonight. Perhaps there are questions. And so if you're a brother in the church who is here tonight with a question, we invite you to raise your hand and I'll call your name and Logan will bring you the microphone. And make sure you speak clearly into the microphone. The sound system is turned off because we're having some feedback problems, but this is used for recording purposes. And so we'll open for questions at this time. Matt Kuderna, and then to the back, Jeremy Smith.
So I'd like to discuss the public school versus the homeschooling aspect, and that is that I've seen homeschooled children who were raised by Christian parents who were homeschooled their entire life. They were raised around church. They were raised around the church. They hung out with people from church. They were never exposed to bad influences. And then they graduated. They're 18 years old. They've been homeschooled. They go to college, and they've never had to make a decision. They've never had to be in a situation where they could possibly make the wrong decision. And then once they go to college, they're 18 years old, and they just go off the deep end because they've never been able to make. They've never been in a situation up to that point. They've never been socialized to be able to discern that wrong from right. They've just been told, what is that? So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, when someone says, I have seen, you never dispute that. You've seen this. You've seen a problem. I haven't seen that problem. And what I have practiced is, you know, if those children... If they have problems, there's other problems that go along with that. The easy way to deal with that, I can just tell our children. We went to church. Our children participated in sports. All of the children played soccer, some of them up to a championship kind of level. Some of them played soccer and baseball. Sports were never an issue. And they, Aaron especially would tell me and talk to me about the language the boys on the baseball team used, not specifically, but he'd say, Dad, you wouldn't believe it. I'm not going to. But he had to learn there. There's other places besides, homeschool children don't just sit around in the home. That's the general case. And if they do that, that's a mistake. They go all over the place and they do all kinds of things. And there's all kinds of other opportunities. We phased our children into college. When they're juniors in high school, they can take two classes at the junior college. And so each of our children, as they became a junior in high school, they would take two classes as a junior, well, four, because they get two each semester, two classes at the junior college. So they get phased in, just like the spanking thing, and they'll figure their own way out, but they get phased in. And that was always a way to do it for us. I don't know why some children have a bigger problem. I don't think homeschooling is the problem in those cases.
Jeremy Smith.
I appreciate your remarks this evening. On the issue of homeschool versus public school, I would respectfully but emphatically disagree with you about that. As an educator of 19 years and my wife of 20 years, I can also unveil my resume, and I have an 18-year-old that is in the church and a 16-year-old that's in the church. And when my 18-year-old was in second grade, one of the compliments that the teacher paid to us was he would defend the truth in the second grade. And so we were implementing and training those things in him when he was a little boy, and he knew the things, he knew the difference between right and wrong. And I agree with what Matt was saying. I always felt like those opportunities provided him the chance to grow, to learn what we were saying and to grow. And Macy is 16 years old, and she also is a member of the church. And while we've been here, she's encouraged a Mormon to come to church and an atheist to come to church and an evangelical, I believe the other girl is, to come to church with us. All opportunities that wouldn't have been provided if it wasn't for private school or for public school. I do appreciate the fact that you're non-judgmental, but one issue that I do see, and you weren't judgmental in your presentation tonight at all, but one thing I do see, and not only so much among the Lord's people, but just the homeschool movement in general, is this vilification and this looking down and judgmental attitude towards public school teachers and those that would send their kids to public school. And so I just, more of a comment, but if you'd like to make comments about what I said, that'd be fine as well.
The only comment that I would make is, you know, I'm glad your children, I'm thankful for your children. We need your children. The church, the Lord needs your children. If I could be you know, we all think we did it right. If our children are Christians, we think we did it right. And I believe about children, they are amazingly resilient. I think I did it right, and you think you did it right, and I'm thankful for that. I see the opposite. I see people, you know, vilification of homeschoolers. Now, I know homeschoolers, I know how we are, because I've been there. But it happens both ways. And so we're all trying to raise our children in the best way we can to be Christians. Thank you.
Clint DeFrance.
I'm glad you've done that. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I said that I've always learned something from every presentation I've heard at this study, but I think I learned more today from your presentation, maybe than any other, as far as practical, helpful information for me as a new father. I was homeschooled, and then I also went to private school. Academically, private school did virtually nothing for me. I didn't learn anything in private school the last few years that I hadn't already learned in homeschooling. The way my parents homeschooled me is they kept me at home until I was about 12, 13 years old. After I was baptized, they sent me to a private school. And I don't think that I was unprepared. I mean, I was faced with all the adversities that come along with having worldly friends, and I guess I was able to overcome that because I'm Christian today. But, you know, I know it's a very passionate, emotional thing, very emotional, very passionate. I appreciate Roger because I didn't feel like Roger was judgmental. All of my sisters went to schooling programs, public school or private school. None of them are faithful Christians today. I don't know if that has anything to do with the education they received or not, but that is true. And I don't think, listening to Roger didn't make me think less of my parents for sending them to public school or private school. I think they were trying to do the best thing that they could. Anyway, I don't mean to ramble on that. I just really want to say I appreciate what you said, and I appreciate how you said it, and I appreciate the observations that our other brethren have made as well. It's a very important issue. What could be more important than how we bring up our children? You told me, and I hope I'm not doing something you wish I didn't do by bringing this up, but we talked about earlier today, or early this week, something that is happening in the rest of the world through the United Nations called the Rights of Children Act, and some implication that's having for children in other countries and could possibly have for the United States. I wondered if you could mention a little bit about what that means and how Christians could be prepared for that and how to deal with it.
The UN Treaty on the Rights of Children is a treaty that the UN has produced, and it sounds wonderful, as all laws are made to sound wonderful. And obviously we would agree children have rights. The only of the UN member nations, I believe only the Sudan and the United States have not signed and joined on to the treaty or the on the Convention on the Rights of Children. That seems strange. How could we be allied with such a country as the Sudan. But the problem is that the treaty, when treaties in the United States are signed, ratified by the Congress and signed by the President, they take on the character of law. They supersede the Constitution. And when we have rights, when children have rights encoded in law, who defends those rights? Who defends your right to free speech? The government does. So then the government will then defend the children's rights, and the government will then define those rights, and in specific, the UN will be the administrator of the treaty. International law will supersede America's law. This is all political, and I only talk about it because it's just a scary thing when international law and the government has a lot of control, and they take more and more control over the children. And when they take control of children, they take it from the parents. And the government decides right and wrong for the children, for the parents, instead of the parents. It's just something that scares me a tremendous amount. Children are the material of which the church is eventually made, and children are the material of which the society is made. Both God and the church and the government have an interest in children. And the treaty on the Convention on the Rights of Children is a law that will, in the end, result in, it will tip the tables, and it's possible to supersede United States law, which at the present says parents have the control over the children, except in certain circumstances. And it's just a scary thing. The world is a scary place. One of the things that I equate to that is in the Old Testament, in the days of Pharaoh, when the Egyptians were in Israel, the king of Pharaoh decided that the Egyptians were too scary, and he began to take their children. The boys were to be killed, and the girls would be kept as laborers for the Egyptians. And when that happened, that is the time that God began to stick his hand into the world in that place and day and time. Maybe we should be looking for that. When the government begins, they can do a lot of things, but when they begin to take the children, I would expect the hand of God to become interested in a more definite way. I'm not predicting the end of the world. I'm just saying that becomes a scary time.
Derek?
Certainly do appreciate the thoughts you presented this evening. And if I may say, the talks presented tonight, and I want to express my thanks to Shahe and Clint for organizing, especially this night, and I hope I don't sound ambitious in saying this, but these presentations that Greg and Roger have presented have certainly made me very excited to have a family one day. It's certainly interesting to see how God presents through inspiration of the Holy Spirit in God's Word, how the family is to be as an organization and how special that is. And it's I know there are several here who have just had children, and I can't imagine the excitement and also the nervousness that they feel as a parent in raising a child for the first time. It certainly is kind of a trial and error experience, but it certainly has made me excited to have that if the Lord wills. If I may offer my own personal insight on the public school and the private school thing, I just graduated last year. I spent all my life in public school. And I owe some of my greatest memories and experiences to that public school experience. Now, obviously, there are cons. Of course, I attended a school in, as Mr. DeFrance likes to say, in Long Bottom, Ohio, and where we may have graduated maybe 100 or 200 people. So it was a small school, but there were nobody, to my knowledge, who claimed to be members of the Lord's Church.
And so I actually didn't come to a knowledge of the church until my senior year. And so it was very hard, even when I was a member of a denominational sect, to pursue my teachings, if you will, and to be able to stay connected to God in that denominational sense, because I felt like I was surrounded by people who just despised Christianity as a whole, and it was very difficult to be able to establish myself in a sound place where I felt that I could spiritually stand and be able to be firmly rooted in that experience. There is one thing that I did appreciate in my public school years, and that was being able to meet someone who did have a knowledge of the Lord's church and who did expose me to the truth. And so that experience to me was phenomenal, to be able to meet someone in a public school setting who would teach their students, obviously not in a public setting because there's issues with that in itself, but who would teach their students in private, one-on-one, about the meaning of the Bible and what God is and how to find the truth. And so I owe that to my public school experience, and I certainly do appreciate the different perspectives that have been presented by some of our brethren about that issue. And I know that's certainly a difficult one to consider. But anyway, I say that as kind of just a reflectory sort of thing for me personally. One question I did have, if I may, in your introductory remarks, you brought up Proverbs 22:6, where it mentions, train a child up in the way he should go, and when he gets older, he will not depart from it. And you mentioned that that falls on certain circumstances. You may train a child in the way he should go, but he may depart from it because he has the free will to obey or disobey the Lord. So my question is, why do you personally think that children do depart from that way, even if they are being trained correctly? And do you think there's any circumstances, or do you think there's any evidence that a parent can do to maybe fix that cycle, if you may?
I can't answer that in every case, no. I think the public school situation is part of it. I think parents who fail their job, and I know we as parents say I did the best job I could, but I'll tell you, I've had to apologize to my children more than I've ever had to apologize to anyone else in my whole life. I made mistakes with my children. I made a lot of mistakes with my children. But I did some right thing. You know, it's a... all parents make mistakes, and we can never excuse ourselves. And at some point, a parent with lost children has to apologize to those children. You can't just go on in your life and say, I did everything right. No, you didn't do everything right. But you have to apologize to your children. There comes a place in your life where you need to say to your child, I'm sorry for the mistakes I made. And sometimes you have to say sorry for a particular mistake. That's what I believe. I know some parents would say, you never say you're sorry. I say I'm sorry to my children when I make a mistake, when I notice it, when I find it. And parents have to do that too. As their children grow up, we all make mistakes. But there is the world to consider around us, and the world is trying to influence our children, and that is a truth. The world is trying to influence our children, and sometimes they're not successful, and sometimes they are successful, and we're always struggling against that. I wanted to say one thing in connection with Jeremy back there too, but I have no let's see. If you want to be a public school teacher, I say go for it. Man, if you can do it, I believe that Christian people in the public school are just fine. If anyone can do the job, Christian people can do it and can be an influence there. That's what I believe. You're an adult, and you can, you know, figure it out. I just don't know that my 4 or 5-year-old could have, or 6-year-old. And so if I was going to send my, I would wait until maybe they got out of 6th grade. That would be if I was going to do it that way. That's how I would do it. But I have no negatives about, if you as a Christian want to be a public school teacher, have no negatives about it. You're an adult, you can deal with the problems, and you can be an influence on children. Okay, I have no negatives about that. I'm not condemning the whole public. I think the world needs public schools. I just think Christian parents, on their own children, not on somebody else's children, can do a better job in the spiritual realm by having them close in their younger years.
Brother, we're out of time. Do you have any closing remarks?
Nope. Thank you very much. Hope I didn't offend anyone. I am kind of a little bit passionate. I don't talk about homeschooling too much, unless you just ask me and force me to. Thank you very much.